Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, this blockbuster trade could result in more star players on the move. Stay tuned. Season 4, episode 71 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Croshaw with you today. Chase, how are you on this lovely Monday evening?
I'm doing all right. We're sitting here in person with you for the first time in a little while.
It sucks.
We did it. Yeah, sure. Whatever. We did it back in April. And then prior to that, it had been, we probably did it in December when you're home for Christmas. So yeah, it seems like, you know, an every 3 month type of thing at this point. But yeah, no, I'm chilling. The volume levels here are a little strugglesome for whatever reason. When I plug my headphones in to this one with this adapter, it gets all wonky, kind of hard to hear myself. But then when you play that intro music, if I was standing next to a speaker at a concert, like, it would have been quieter.
Oh,
it was deafening. Holy crap. Scared the hell out of me. But other than that, how are we doing today, Mike?
Doing well. Had a long day of work. And yeah, it was 100% work, just in case, you know, coworkers or the boss is listening. You know, it's a very productive day and I didn't do anything but work today. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're working from home, the keyword is working. So that's what you're going to be doing.
Exactly.
I don't need to question anything.
Yeah. So back here in Michigan for the week, was here all last week, except on PTO. So last week was a lot more fun than this week has started, but nonetheless, it's been a good time and I am excited to get in person because vibes always seem to go a little bit smoother when we're in person. And
oh yeah,
we've got a WNP show today. Our other show, we cover mainly football. We are starting our preseason coverage over there. So if you want to catch out the best preseason coverage in all of NFL media, make sure to head over there. But Chase, today we are going to be talking about some signings when it comes to free agency. Now, last week we did talk about the Bolts and kind of what's been happening with them. We have a little bit of updates when it comes to them, but not so much. And then after the commercial break, going to be talking about the whole league as free agent kicked off, where we're sitting now, and a couple of trades as well. So it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Bolts. And yeah. We talked about how Alex Killorn, that's probably the biggest piece that moved from Tampa. Yeah,
for sure.
And then we also mentioned other players such as Patrick Maroon. But we have another player to mention that is departing old Tampa.
Yeah, another one of those, you know, nice depth, fourth liner, do the right thing kind of guy. Pierre-Edward Belmar, he is out the door, signed over in Seattle. Yeah, wishing him the best of luck. I do like Belmar. He's got kind of a I guess unique would be the right word, career projection. So he didn't come over to the NHL until his late 20s. So he's been in the league for about 8 years now. So when you think that, you're like, all right, maybe he came over when he was like 24. So he's 32 years old. No, he's like, he's about he's getting close to retirement age. Like he's up there. It's not something you see too often in the NHL. Usually guys are, you know, start when they're younger and then they'll kind of keep working up the ranks. But nonetheless, still kind of a cool little my origin story. That's not the right word to really use for him, but you know, cool little background. Regardless, best of luck to Mr. P.E. Belmar out there in Seattle. Just another body that's out the door that'll kind of have to be filled with who we've got coming in.
Yeah, and there's no new signings as of the last time we talked. What would you say Tampa has left to do in this free agency? It seems like, you know, all the holes that have opened because of the departures doesn't necessarily seem like they've been filled at this point. So what else do we have to go do? Is it just signing depth at this point? Is it even possible with our cap to make a, you know, middle tier type of splash in free agency?
I mean, at this point, probably not. You know, I don't really expect anything crazy to happen. You know, I expect more of the, you know, Luke Lindenning style signings, which again is one I do like. I think we'll see more of those guys. Maybe a guy a tier up that maybe be more the third line or you know, a number five type defense. And I don't really see too many more dollars going out the door. Hopefully, leaving some room for in season trades. I think that's kind of the goal here. Moving on from a couple guys that you know, would re-sign for numbers that they were, you know, higher than previous years, or, you know, a guy like Ross Colton who just probably was going to need more money or want more money than we could kind of provide. So I really don't see much going on. If so, it'll be shorter, you know, 1 year deals for cheap flyer type guys. And you know, I really hope that we do end up getting a better goaltender. Cause I don't think Jonas Johansson's really the one I want backing up.
Yeah.
But it's really not the end of the world either. Cause at the end of the day, if we're playing Vasi 65, 68, 69, 70 game, whatever you're going to play him for, then it's not that big of a deal, but I really don't expect too much more going on. I think really in terms of the core players, like the Sherrys and the Glendennings, it's probably about it.
Yeah. So hopefully we have some more news when it comes to Tampa here on the next episode. But before we head to a commercial break, I do want to follow two storylines that we brought up recently. One being David Reinbacher. He does sign with Montreal. That was a situation that we talked about how the fans in Montreal were absolutely brutal towards this young kid, showing no class whatsoever because, of course, they wanted Mishkov. And when the organization decided not to do that, they decided to go after the player rather than the organization. So with this signing, what are your thoughts?
So I still think he's going to end up being loaned out to Europe. That's just kind of the feeling here. There's a chance that maybe he plays in the American League, goes to Laval. I don't imagine him playing Major Junior, unless I missed something and they might have already said what he's doing. I don't know. But from what I'm guessing, from what I know, I would expect him back over in the Swiss League this year. Maybe he can do what Morris Seider did for the Wings years ago and make the jump from a lower league to a higher league and go play in the Swedish League. There might be something like that going on, but I don't know. It just kind of feels like with all that going on, just let him go build his confidence, go play in European League, still be a little familiar, and then kind of make the jump the following year to probably what would be the NHL.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if we actually talked about this story on the last episode or if we've just been talking about it in our Twitter group chats, but being based out of Detroit, obviously we have some interest in what the Detroit Red Wings are doing. And Filip Zadina is one of those players, a former sixth overall pick, I believe.
Yep.
He goes on waivers, no one picks him up. And so the Red Wings decide to, or I guess both of them mutually decide to terminate his contract, and he goes over to San Jose. So as someone who has a vested interest in the hometown team, kind of talk about it.
I mean, at the end of the day, you're getting out of contract of a player that you signed to too much money based on what he's going to provide, someone who didn't want to be here, someone who clearly wasn't going to work out. Just absolute disastrous last few years for Kenny Holland before our guy Steve Yzerman left Tampa to go sign or go take over the Detroit job, I should say. A lot of the draft picks that Kenny Holland and his staff made were just absolutely horrendous. And then ever since our boy goes over there, brings over his guys, it's been slowly trending upward. But Zadina was, don't get me wrong, he was someone that was still very highly touted. You know, he was expected to be a top pick in that class. But there were a couple other players that I thought were obviously better, like Quinn Hughes. I would have taken Quinn Hughes every day of the week, who ended up going after that, and kind of see how that's worked out. So it's a shame that, you know, such a high overall draft pick kind of goes to waste, and Now he's going to go get an opportunity in San Jose. I don't really see this working out very well. Like, he just hasn't translated to an NHL player. And it happens every year. It happens all the time. The guys just don't translate. I think he's just going to be better off being one of those European players, go over to Russia, make some good money, be a better player in the KHL. That's just kind of his career trajectory at this point.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the first half of the show. Doing the outro? What was happening there?
A nice 7-minute show.
Yeah. We're going to say hi to our friends over at DraftKings real quick. New customers, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code THPN. Bet just $5 to score $150 in bonus bets instantly. That's code THPN, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. In West Virginia, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In partnership with Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. One boost per eligible game. Opt-in required. Max bet $50. 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. Chase, any sports bets out there? You know, I was actually thinking about putting some on the UFC fights this weekend, and then I started to and realized I was picking all the favorites, and my $10 would have turned into $22. So I decided not going to do that.
You're boring. At the end of the day, profit's profit, Mike. You got to keep that in mind. I know it's not exciting, but it is. You know, those are wise words that I don't live by either, so fair. But profit is profit. Nothing right now. You know, as you know, we've talked about, we're going to be doing our WNP show, talk more about football. As that moves along, I'll probably end up placing some division winners, future bets. That's really about it. But in the summer, I don't touch baseball because it's a nightmare. And outside of that, I can go bet on the G League or something. I can go bet on golf, you know, tennis, whatever it might be. I'm good. Every once in a while, I'll bet on golf just because I don't know. I'm bored, need something to do. Every once in a while, I'll just bet on a guy I like, or, you know, I'll sprinkle a little bit on Tiger if he's playing just for the hell of it. But like in the summer, it's pretty light for me in terms of sports bets.
Well, I'll tell you what, I did put a 6-pick parlay.
Oh boy.
On the line. Odds are +7,433.
Okay.
And this was before we did any division previews, so, you know, this isn't going to ruin anything. It's no spoilers. But I was just feeling, you know, just some aura in the room, and I decided to pick 6 of the 8 division winners when it comes to the NFL. And I feel like the odds are pretty darn good for the teams that I picked. Got the Bills in the AFC East, the Bengals in the AFC North, the Jags in the AFC South, the Chiefs in the AFC West, and then in the NFC East, I've got the Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks for the NFC West. So, obviously, the favorite there is the 49ers, but the Seahawks, they played extremely well last year, and I think they had easily the best offseason of any NFC West team. So, you know, when we actually do our divisional breakdowns, maybe I have the Cardinals winning the division. Who knows? But as of prior to actually doing any deep dive research into all of these teams, those are the 6 I went with.
Hopefully it's not the Cardinals because they suck.
Yeah.
But that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to talking about this on our shows. I don't think those are bad. I mean, especially the first 5 are like, those are guys that I think they're all kind of locked and loaded. There's some decent teams in the division, but they should be relatively safe. And then the 6th one, yeah, I could definitely see it happening with the Seahawks, but that's probably the closest division of the 6 that you bet on. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll wait and see, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, and then when you look at the odds, or I mean, excuse me, the wager and payout. I wagered $5. It'll pay out $376.
Yeah, that'd be pretty nifty.
So I'm feeling okay about it. And
it'd be a nice little like New Year's present.
Yeah, and the Seahawks, they're plus 195. So they're not like, you know,
yeah,
astronomical.
They're not whacking.
Yeah. Actually, the Bengals are plus 150. So when you look at Bengals, Seahawks, man, that's super close.
That's interesting.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about some free agent signings and some trades. Let's start with the big one. Obviously happened last night as of recording, or was it Saturday night? I think it was last night. We had Alex DeBrincat get traded to the Detroit Red Wings. The Red Wings also signed him to a nice extension. I know a lot of people thought he could have got more, which for a guy who's put up 40 goals in two different seasons, you sure could make that argument, but Alex DeBrincat to Detroit.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, it was a sign-in trade. That's kind of what the holdup was for a few days, but a four-year deal. He wanted 8 years. Stevie didn't want to give him more than that. At the end of the day, Steve Yzerman wins because Steve Yzerman is a masterclass general manager and taught our boy Julian Breezeball very well. But Stevie signs him to a four-year deal, $31.5 million, comes out to just over $7.85 per year. And it's a fair deal for a guy who's 25 years old. You know, he'll be starting his descent from his prime at that point. So he potentially could end up being, you know, proving that, yeah, you should have paid me longer for more, you know, should pay me this money for longer, or more money for longer, whatever. Or it could be like, yeah, we dodged a bullet because we didn't sign this guy 8 years. We'll see. But the return on that deal, heading over to Ottawa, Dominic Kubalik, prospect Donovan Sobrango, and a conditional first-round pick, and a fourth-round pick, no conditions. And that conditional first-round pick is that it's Detroit's choice, so it'll end up just being the latter of the two picks between theirs and Boston. I think this is probably a good deal all around for... I think the value probably favors Detroit here. You get a guy who has been a 40-goal scorer in the NHL, and I think he can do that again. I think he's capable of that every year. But for Ottawa, a guy that you know wasn't going to... that doesn't want to be there, a guy that wasn't planning on coming back, you end up shipping him out. You get a decent haul, especially from, you know, a team that supposedly had kind of a stranglehold on negotiations because they were the one true suitor. You know, they can usually kind of lowball. And, you know, I was thinking there's a chance it was going to be like two second-round picks and two prospects, not you know, a first-round pick in NHL or a prospect. But and I think it ends up working out well for kind of all parties here. And it should be a fun player for Detroit to hopefully kind of accelerate the rebuild a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Alex DeBrincat fan, and for a guy to have multiple 40-goal seasons and get traded for what he did, I mean, like you said, he kind of had a stranglehold on Ottawa, and they couldn't get his 100% true value. But at the same time, when you just look at trade overall, I agree with you. Give me Detroit's side all day. Dominic Kubalik, he goes opposite, and this is a young player that had some success. Obviously, his best season is back in his rookie season, 2019-2020, where he put up 46 through 68 games. But I don't think he'll ever become the star that Alex DeBrincat has been and potentially could be with the Detroit Red Wings. And then when you're looking at Boston or Detroit's first-round pick, I would have to assume it's Boston at this point, but yeah, we'll have to see. It's likely a playoff pick. So it just doesn't feel like all that much value. And for the actual price that they got Alex DeBrincat, like contract-wise, I also think that's a steal. I mean, when you look at Dmitry Orlov, he got $1 million less than Alex DeBrincat. I think Alex DeBrincat, a much more impactful player.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, they're both very impactful players for their teams, but just different ways. Yeah, I would rather play DeBrincat his money than Orlov his money, I guess. So I can get behind that. But when you're talking about Kubalik, I don't disagree that he's probably, you know, had the best like season of his career, and that might be it. But I still am a big fan of his game. I'm still at 45 points last year with the Radio 1 games. Very respectable on a not very good team. Plays a good two-way game and looked great in the World Championships. So I think he's probably going to be a 50-plus point guy this year for Ottawa, as long as he's healthy all the way through. So at least you're getting like a productive NHLer. You're not just getting, you know, some third-line guy that's going to put up 35 points. So that's At least you're getting some sort of level of offensive replacement, plus you're still getting a solid defensive guy. So Ottawa doing the best they can. They were supposed to be a good team last year. They were not. And now they're in just a weird spot because they traded away a few draft picks for players, trying to recoup some. It'll be interesting to kind of see what they do this year because I really don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I think it's kind of unfortunate because it was only 367 days after they acquired Alex DeBrincat. And back then, when a trade went down, I was cheesing, thinking DeBrincat, Timmy Stützle. Like, that could be a sick duo for a long time to come.
They brought in Claude Giroux to help out as well, yeah, on that line.
And it didn't
no,
I mean,
it did not happen.
Timmy Stützle looked great.
Oh, he was fantastic last year, but it just wasn't the right mix.
And it's really unfortunate. And I'm really hoping that Alex DeBrincat can find some chemistry with someone in Detroit, whether it be Lucas Raymond, Dylan Larkin, or some other forward. I'm hoping that he can find that chemistry because obviously when it was him and Patty Kane in Chicago, those two were absolutely electric together. So hoping that DeBrincat can find his footing yet again here in Detroit.
So the thing he's got going for him is he's known Dylan Larkin for a long time. Their childhood friends play together. So that does work out. They hang out in the offseason. So I would assume they're going to step in and play on the same line. So we'll see how that goes. But I think there's a real chance to have some success here for him.
He knows OD boss, eh?
Yeah, he does know D boss.
All right, well, let's talk about some free agent signings. We didn't cover any free agency that wasn't Tampa last week. So let's talk about some of the bigger names. And I think the biggest name that really kicked off free agency was Ryan O'Reilly heading over to Nashville.
It really tells you all you need to know about Toronto. If you had a hometown kid leaving for like a discount, that's kind of a concern. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a great value for Nashville, like $4.5 million a year is the number. So that's great. You're getting a guy who is a top six center. Doesn't matter if he's older and slowing down, he's still a top six center. And I think basically every NHL team at this point, I'd be happy to get that. I would have loved if that's something that could have been done over here, if figure out the money to make that work, because that would have been a fantastic player, fantastic fill-in for kind of what we need and what we're looking for, be a dominant PK or be great in the face-off dot, be an elite leader. But it's good for Nashville. It'll be interesting to see what they're doing here because they're kind of in a weird spot as well. They had they went and traded away Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, and now they're bringing in a guy like O'Reilly. So first, I feel like they're rebuilding. Now it feels like, okay, maybe they're going to try to be a playoff contender. It's hard to really catch the vibe there.
Yeah, and please feel free to stop me if you want to talk about a player specifically, but when I look at contracts overall this year, it seems everyone's making a little bit more money than we're used to, seeing the likes of Ian Cole make $3 million, seeing Justin Hall make $3.4 million. So I'm kind of looking at some bigger contracts. I guess we can take a quick stop at Jonas Korpisalo, Ottawa, $4 million for 5 years.
Yeah, and that's a good one because that's another opportunity to help the Ottawa team potentially be better. And he's not some world-beating goalie, but he is good enough to be a starter on teams that don't have an established guy. So I think it's a good move for Ottawa. I do like the guys that they have in place, though. Especially Matt Sogard. I think he's going to be a very good NHL goalie. So this might hold him back a little bit. He probably would be ready to go this year. Maybe not as a full-time starter, but as a backup, I think he would, but this kind of relegates him to the American League, which isn't maybe a bad thing. Goalies, you'd rather kind of, overcook them than undercook them. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But if Sogard becomes like the number one goalie in the second or third year of this deal, then it kind of sucks that you're sitting on, a $4 million backup for a couple of years.
Yeah. All right. Dmitry Orlov, the name we mentioned earlier on. I was actually wrong because Dmitry Orlov is only making $100K less than Alex DeBrincat, a $7.75 million per year over 2 years.
It's a lot of money. So at least it's only 2 years. But he is a good, reliable defender. He's someone that any team would be happy to have, but he's just not some, he's not, I don't think he's a number one D man. I don't think that. Maybe other people disagree. Maybe that's what you pay a number two D man, but I think he's better off being that 2B or 3A type guy where a good team has him as their number three. Competitive enough team has their number two. So I would prefer to pay him a little less, but at the end of the day, it is only 2 years. If you can make that work in your cap, so be it.
Yeah, and it feels like we are heading the route that NHL takes us every time we're doing a GM mode challenge, and that's if you find a good defenseman, he's going to be very pricey.
Yeah,
he doesn't need to be an elite defenseman to be pricey, just good. And when you look at some of the contracts we saw last year, like Seth Jones over $9 million, Darnell Nurse, $9 million, we now see Dmitry Orlov get $7.75 million. And, yeah, he's not seen as that number one, but a number two or a number three is going to cost you nearly $8 million now.
Yeah, and it is just a kind of crazy thing. I get it. Nowadays, all these kids, they want to be forwards because, you know, they saw the Pavel Berries, the Pavel Datsyuks, like, you know, those super skilled players, you know, the Sidney Crosbys, even the Nathan MacKinnon fans are coming in, the Patrick Haines. Like, they see all these crazy talented players, and they're like, I want to be like him. So they all go play forward. You go see these youth teams. They have nine forwards and then two kids that actually want to play defense on them. So you're going to find it that's less and less likely that you see these, especially true defensemen, like guys that are two-way or defensive defensemen. It's going to be less and less by the second. And you're going to see, you know, more of those offensive guys, hopefully. You know, hopefully we see more like a Keandre Miller situation where he was a forward, moves back to D, and now he's having a lot of success. That's the really kind of the best path to us finding more defensemen down the road. But with that, you know, being said, and the point that you made, we're going to kind of see what would be considered even 10 years ago as a mid-tier defenseman get paid more because, like, it is just kind of lacking.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about two guys that are more seen as, I guess, middle six forwards, but got paid quite a bit. That being Jason Zucker going to Arizona, as well as, we mentioned it previously, but Alex Killorn as well, 6.5, or nearly 6.5 for Anaheim.
Yeah, the Killorn one is way more money than I would have paid him. Even though I like Killorn, like, he's still where he's at in his career and where we're at. It's not money I would have paid him. So more power to him for getting it somewhere. It lets Anaheim, who has been a cap flexibility, bring in like a more of a leader type thing. So that's fine, all said and done. I don't think it really harms anybody. Good for Killorn for making some money. And then Jason Zucker, I mean, he's just going for a payday. He's like, I want to make a couple extra bucks this year. Let me go to Arizona, go enjoy the warm weather, go make, you know, just over $5 million, which I would not have gotten anywhere else. And then next year we'll go explore a team where I can go potentially win. That's basically what happened to that one.
Yeah.
Because, like, why are you – that's someone who probably got calls from 8 to 10 NHL teams in some way, shape, or form, maybe even more. So you're not just choosing Arizona. Like, I had three NHL or Stanley Cup contenders call me. I'm going to go to Arizona where I'm going to win 26 games this year and play in front of 3,000 fans.
Maybe he's into college girls. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
No, he's got a family, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I guess you never know.
All right, well, let's talk about two goalies re-signing to their current team, that being Tristan Jarry, $5.375 million to Pittsburgh, and Ilya Sorokin going back to the Isles at an $8.25 million deal.
Sorokin's worth any penny, every penny of that. I think Jari's worth, you know, his mostly, like, he's still a starting goalie, quality, so not a problem. But Sorokin is one of the best young goalies in the NHL. At worst, a top four goalie for me, probably three, maybe even two. He's just really good, man. He is worth every penny of that. You know, look at what we're paying Vasi, worth every penny. And, you know, I think we're going to kind of see down the road with him, and Shesterkin's making his money, worth every penny. Jake Andrews can be a guy that's worth every penny that he's making. If I was building a team, like, you know, if we were doing like an NHL fantasy draft, like a redraft, I should say, you know, like, if you're playing like a Chell GM mode, Sorokin is arguably a first round pick for me. Like, yeah, he's someone that I would really want to emphasize building my team around, because if you have him, you can at least, you know, not worry so much about the defensive liabilities that your team might have, because, you know, he's going to bail you out a few.
All right, let's move up quite a bit here and talk about the one signing that sparked all kinds of graphics being thrown out there. Is this the best top six in the NHL? And that's because Tyler Bertuzzi signed with Toronto, and Tyler Bertuzzi being added to that Toronto team, a little extra grit for that Toronto team. Does that make them the easy favorite to win the cup? And I think they are top three in Vegas odds right now to win the cup.
They have been the last like 3 years, dude. They don't get any better. They don't get any worse. They just stay the same. They get a different type of player, and they stay the same. Like, I'd rather have Ryan O'Reilly every day of the week at his price than to have Bertuzzi. Every year you see, is this the best forward group in the NHL? Or is this the, you know, the best top D pair in the NHL? No, it's not. They're going to go in 48 to 53 games. They're going to get in playoffs. They might win a series again this year, but they're not a real contender. Like, they're the legitimate definitions of pretenders in the NHL. They just are not good enough to get over the hump. They're a show team. They go out there and they make you think, oh, this is the year. This is the year. Newsflash, this is not the year.
And I got to say, when you look at Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi being the two acquisitions that everyone wants to throw into graphics next to Marner and Matthews and Tavares, like, those guys aren't the ones that make me go, ooh, ah.
No, I mean, if Bertuzzi scores like he can, like, and he has shown that, you know, he has some flash stuff, but if he can be a 60-point guy, then, like, yeah, very worth it. Domi, I don't see him, like, beating really very much more than 40. So, like, it's just, he's not some, you know, needle mover for me. I'd rather just give a shot to someone in-house, like Nick Robertson, who is underwhelmed a bit as an NHLer. I'd rather just throw him in the top six, see what the hell he does. Like, force him to move his, you know, field more, like, push the pace, see what he does. I'd much rather do that than go pay, like, a guy that doesn't really change anything for them. Even if he is a good player, I don't think either one of these guys really changed that much for what I saw Toronto doing this year.
Yeah, only two more signings I want to mention, and both being contract extensions. Anze Kopitar, he signs for 2 years at $7 million, back with the LA Kings. As the LA Kings, they continue to try to make that push with a younger core surrounded by veterans like Kopitar and Doughty.
Yeah, and I can respect it. Big Kopitar fan. I think he retires a King, and I'm happy to see that's going to be the case because the team is back on the up and up. Even though he is kind of getting older, Doughty's getting older, the team is looking better than they did, you know, 3 years ago. It's, you know, the whole thing is, you know, do your next 5 years look better or worse than the previous five? And I do think their next five truly look better than their previous five. So to get him at that price, I do like it. He is your leader. He is the guy that really is the heartbeat of that team. I think that, you know, are they going to be cup winners in the next couple of years? Probably not, but he's going to at least keep this team afloat, do all the right things for when it's time for them to be legitimate cup contenders, and he's transitioning out. There's not going to be much of an issue.
And finally, not a big money grab, but you see Cam York over in Philly. He gets a 2-year extension at $1.6 million. This is a kid that was drafted in the first round. He showed a lot of promise, and he's been playing well. Jay Fresh, he put out his graphic, an 88% WAR as a player over in Philly. For a Philly team that is definitely lacking high-end players, to bring back Cam York at 2 years, only $1.6 million, I like it.
Yeah, it's good, respectable value. You know, especially with the decor they have, like with Sanheim, you know, the talk that he might be moved, but if you keep him on, then great. Ryan Ellis over there, you know, Tony D, like they've got a lot of talent on the back end, and to get Cam York at a value and someone who could easily outproduce that as soon as day one, it's good for Philly. And this might be something that they regret, because when you're signing players who have like legitimate upside to bridge deals, it hardly ever works out. So this could be a kid who is going into that borderline, you know, RFA, UFA status, where he's going to be eligible for arbitration but not completely be a free agent guy. Or he could be requesting $6-8 million if things go right. And if you would have signed him to a long-term deal to, like, even 5-6 years, maybe you could have gotten him at, like, 4.5 or something. So this could come back and bite him in the ass a little bit. I don't know. But regardless, in the short term, it is a great value.
And we'll keep you up to date on all things free agent signings. We got some huge names still out there. Patrick Kane, Vladimir Tarasenko, and I guess briefly before we go to hockey name of the day, Patty Kane has been rumored to the Detroit Red Wings now that Alex DeBrincat's there. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't really see it happening. It's just because, oh, DeBrincat, they you know, like Patrick Kane groomed DeBrincat, so he's going to go finish out a career with them and go try to chase a cup or something like that. He ain't chasing a cup in Detroit. Like, not by the time you're done, Patty Kane. So unless you just want to live in Detroit, like, legitimately, some players do want to just live in Detroit. Some players that don't even play here live here in the offseason. Like Sean Horkoff, you know, he went to Michigan State. He never played for the Red Wings, but he's lived here every offseason, lived here ever since. Now he works for Detroit. So some guys just want to stay here. Who knows? Maybe Patty Kane does want to come out here, play in Detroit, stay and retire. I don't know, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen to me.
And yeah, we'll keep you up to date on everything that comes through with Patty Kane, Vladimir Tarasenko, Thomas Tatar, Matt Dumba, and so many other players still out there in free agency, but we are going to head to a quick hockey name of the day, and we have Zachary Mahubi. Zachary, is it a silent J?
No, Zachary Mahubi.
Dang. So
Zachary Mahubi, 17-year-old forward, currently playing up in Quebec. He is a Canadian. Left winger, don't have a height and weight for him. He's playing in the QCHL, their Division 2, so the Quebec Junior C Hockey League, a lower level there. The previous year, he played in what was a, if I understand correctly, like an 18U kind of like single A, double A, like high school type league. 9 points, 25 games, 82 penalty minutes. Definitely not a name you're going to be seeing. The penalty minutes?
Yeah, 82 games? Penalty minutes?
Yeah.
Nice.
And not too shabby. Definitely not a name you're going to be seeing, climbing up the NHL ranks. But who knows? Maybe you're one of our listeners out in Quebec and you want to go see a Junior C hockey game and go check out Majubi.
I'm just a little disappointed it's not a silent J. I thought I had it that time.
Nope. You whenever you're trying to big brain, whenever you're trying to think you can do right, you do wrong.
Mm-hmm. Sure do. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out and giving it a listen. Chase, if you could, hit him with an outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to follow us on Twitter, at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter, at HockeyPodNet, it's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, go follow WNP on Twitter, at WNP Sports Pod, that's WNP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. You can find all the pods in the network right there. Boom, click the logo, listen, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Reverencing, raise 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns, we'd appreciate it. Whatever you do, don't forget to use code THPN. We sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.